John Murphy, Donald Jones in our One Buffalo studio on this Tuesday in the offseason. Happy to be joined in studio by the defensive coordinator for the Buffalo Bills, getting set for his second season as DC for the Bills. Happy to have Coach Leslie Frazier with us. Coach, good afternoon. Thanks for coming by.
Thanks for having me.
You are just back from a trip with several members of the coaching staff to the Buffalo City Mission. Tell us what that was about today.
Well, it was really a great experience for myself and the coaches to go down and really kind of give back to our community, John. You know, we were there serving food during the lunch hour, and we divvied up responsibilities. Some guys were in the kitchen. They were part of the group that was cooking the food and preparing it. And then that we had another group that was outside serving the food on the floor, and I was part of that group that was serving the food. So to see the smiles and to have the conversations with the people that were there, it was really a special time.
Can you tell us who was in the group that actually cooked?
Well, they had kind of prepared the food for us, more of our putting it on a plate.
Food up.
And then so it probably wouldn't be a great idea to have some of our coaches cooking. Probably.
Right. Those meals at the City Mission, especially this time of year, cold winter days, that's just critical, right? You probably saw that.
Oh, no doubt. I mean, what they're doing at the City Missions is fantastic. I mean, they're serving three meals a day to those that are less fortunate. Some are homeless. Some are in a situation where they're being sheltered at the facility. So to provide those meals and to be able to serve the public in that fashion is outstanding.
What was on the menu?
Well, we had a little bit of a mix today. Had some turkey, had some corn, had some potatoes, had a real nice dessert that I kind of wanted to nibble at myself. So it was a good meal all the way around.
You know, for me, when I go back home or you go into certain, especially in inner cities, you see certain things and you just feel for people, right? Mm. And when you do something like what you guys did today, it kind of – sometimes you get out of perspective of the bigger picture in life, right? And when you do something like what you guys did today, it kind of puts you back in that sense of, man, you know, I'm truly blessed to be where I am coaching and to do what I do for a living.
You're exactly right, Don. I know I sense that, and I know our other coaches did as well. I mean, you sometimes, in what we do for a living, you can get so caught up in what we do and the glamour of it and all the things that come along with it. And, you know, this kind of puts you back in touch with reality. Mm-hmm. I mean, there are some people in our world that are really struggling in certain areas of their lives. So for us to be able to go and give back and to serve brought so much joy to me. I mean, you know, a lot of positive comments from the people that were there, happy to see us. Mm-hmm. They're Bills fans, but, you know, it was reciprocal. The joy that we felt just serving them and being a part of today, you know, it was special. And you have to thank the Pegula family, along with Sean McDermott, our head coach, for allowing myself and other coaches to go down and serve because, you know, we're in a busy time now with the draft and free agency coming up as well.
Whose idea was that to do this, to get the coaches involved with the City Mission?
Actually, I think Lynn Vanderbos, our team chaplain, is the person that put it together and included us. You know, a lot of times it's our players that are getting out in the community, and he felt like this was an opportunity for the coaches to serve, and I'm glad he did.
You think there's more in the future, more things like that down the line for the coaching group? I know the players are out there all the time. But
I hope there is. I mean, you'd like to feel connected to the community, and this allowed us to be able to do that and to get out and shake some hands and smile and serve. So I hope it happens again.
Speaking of being connected to the community, Coach, I ran into you at the BPO a couple of Saturday nights ago. You're with your wife, right, at BPO.
Yes.
You obviously are digging into this Buffalo community, right? You're liking it.
Oh, yeah. This is a great place to be in Western New York. And, you know, as you know, we got the best fans in the country. So it's a great place to be. And on that night, we're just out enjoying ourselves, just having some entertainment. And it was a good time.
It was a good night.
Well, do you find that hard to do? I mean, everybody knows your face and who you are. Do you find it hard to get out into the community, especially when you're just trying to hang with your wife and have a normal night?
You know, it comes with the territory, Donald, as you know. And, you know, the people have been good, though. Whenever we're out in public, even on that night, I mean, everybody that recognized me, they were really positive. And, of course, the way we finished our season had a lot to do with that, which is good. But it's been positive vibes any time we've been out in public.
With Coach Leslie Frazier, the Bills' defensive coordinator, I want to ask you about a couple of things, including the Indianapolis Colts. Did you actually go out for an interview then over the weekend with them?
I did. I was out on Saturday, met with their general manager and some of their other top brass, and you know, it was a good experience. And as you know, Frank ended up getting the position, and really happy for him. Great guy, great friend as well. And it was a great experience for me, but I'm looking forward to our 2018 season here in Buffalo.
When's the last time you interviewed for a head coaching position?
Oh, boy, it's been a while.
Has it?
It's been a while. Yeah, it's been a while. So it was good to get that experience and go back through it again to a degree. And so it was good in a lot of ways.
Does it change since the last time you interviewed? Do you see anything different in terms of what a team might be looking for now versus what they might have been looking for in the past?
Not so much. You know, every situation is different. Mm-hmm. I mean, we're all familiar with the things that happened with Indianapolis prior mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. This interview process. So they were for sure, you know, looking for integrity and leadership mm-hmm. and some of those things. And I think most teams are, but sometimes they're looking for something a little bit different. But not a whole lot different than what I've gone through in the past. You know, every situation is just a little bit different.
It was an interview, as you said, that kind of came out of nowhere in a yes. couple of days. Did that give you sufficient time to prepare? Did you feel like you had your ducks in order as you went into that interview?
Yeah, as best as you could. You know, it's a short window to get prepared because, as you mentioned, nobody really saw it coming. Yeah. But you do the best you can in that short period of time. We all probably were on the same timeline.
Sure.
And you go and put your best foot forward.
Hey, Coach, in an interview situation like that, it's often said, you know, there's like legends about coaches who are hired who – come in with here's my coordinators and here's what I'm going to do. Is that essential, or do you think maybe they're looking more to get a feel for how you might act as a head coach, what your you know, demeanor might be as a yeah. head coach?
Well, it's a combination. They definitely want to, you know, see how you're going to handle some things. And in my case, it's a little bit different because, you know, I've been on the sidelines before as a head coach,
yeah,
so you have a feel. But they really want to see your staff. They want to see the guys who are really going to ensure that you're going to have a chance to be successful. That staff, it's a big deal, as we all know, because as the head coach, you know, you're managing the entire deal. It's hard to focus on just one segment of the football team. You need yeah. to manage the entire team, and if you don't put together a good staff, you can get pulled in a lot of different directions, and then that kind of takes away your ability to be a good head coach.
How hard is it for a guy like Frank Reich now, who has the job, to go in there so late in the game when a lot of the coaches already have their jobs?
I think a lot of it would depend on, you know, what Chris Ballard, the general manager, and the rest of the organization, scouting-wise, have done up to this point with free agency, along with what they've done with the draft. The biggest thing is for Frank is assembling the coaching staff. And there are a lot of coaches that aren't on the market that were on the market, say, 3 or 4 weeks ago
right.
when the ordinary hiring process mm-hmm. was happening. So that puts you a little bit behind the eight ball, but there still were some good coaches that were out there.
As far as you, Coach, it's got to be difficult, I would think, to put – when the call comes, hey, you want to interview a head coach, you can't just ignore that, right? And in your case, how do
yeah.
you approach that? You've done it before.
Yeah.
You've been a successful coordinator, obviously, mm-hmm. and been around the league for a long time. But is it the point where you could never say no, thank you, I'm not interested in looking at that job?
Well, John, at this stage in my career, in my life – there are some situations that I would potentially say no to because it's some situations are better than others.
Right.
All 32 teams are not the same. And I know for the fans, they see the National Football League and they say, okay, it's the net. Well, as you know, the three of us, it's 32 different entities. They have their own ways of doing things. So some situations are better than others. And at this point in my life, in my career, I would have to be careful about saying yes to this versus – you know, another situation where you right. might say no, but you need to do your homework. Now, when you maybe in your sixth or seventh year in the league, you might say yes to everything.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But every job is not a good job.
Yeah. It's a good position to be in, I would think. A comfortable position for you, I would think.
You know, I like the job that I have.
Yeah.
That's what's most important, that I do a good job where I am, and everything else will take care of itself.
With Leslie Frazier, the Bills' defensive coordinator, let's talk about the job you have and the defense you have. You've, I assume now, with the season about a month behind us, gone through your review of the 2017 season. What did you think of your defense? What did you like that you did, and what would you like to improve upon?
You know, we're actually still going through that process right. and watching tape and evaluating our roster. And, you know, there were a lot of things as we've gone through the tape that we really like what we saw on tape. And there are obviously some things that you want to improve on, and there always will be. And for us, the fact that we were able to take the football away as well as we did, to hold the number of teams that we held under 17 points the way we did throughout the season, that was impressive. That three-game streak where we really gave up a lot of yards, man, that was a hard period for our defense and for our team. And fortunate for us, our guys had enough grit to persevere through that period, come out on the back end, go down to Kansas City, and come away with a great defensive effort that kind of propelled us for those final six games of the season to get a playoff berth. So there were a lot of good things that happened. and we had a bump in the road. But the good news is our guys came out of it and finished strong.
You know, what's it like for you as a coordinator when everything is going the way you want it to go defensively? You're taking the ball away, making tackles, and then all of a sudden you have a stretch of games where it's like, we can't do anything right. I don't know what to call here. What is going on here? What's that like for you?
Oh, man, you're talking about frustrating, because there are times you say, man, when I called this in the past, this worked against this particular play, and now it's not working. So you go like you're scratching your head, and you have to figure it out. Mm-hmm. And fortunate for us, we got it figured out. Our guys got back on track, played well down the stretch, and then went up to Jacksonville and really played well there as well. So, but that was a tough time. But as you know, and John, you know it as well, you go through some cycles like that during a season, whether it be at the early part of the season, could be at the midpoint. You don't want it to be in the month of December. That's not usually
That's
good.
And
fortunate for us, we found our way by the time we got to December.
Coach, I think of the New Orleans game a lot as maybe the toughest game. And I walked away from, what was that, November 12th, November 5th? Yeah, I think it was November 12th. I came in here and said to Donald, that's a Super Bowl team. I mean, that's how good the Saints were that day.
Yeah. Yeah.
You had to be like, I have no buttons to push here. I don't know how to slow these guys down. Huh?
Yeah.
It was amazing.
Yeah, they had a really, really good offense, good team. I mean, their defense really came around, and they struggled early in the season and found their way. So they did a great job, and you know, obviously with the quarterback that they have, and their head coach does a great job as well scheming. So good job by them, but like I said earlier, fortunate for us, we rebounded and found our way.
And I've said this to Coach McDermott. We talked with him a couple weeks ago. That morning in the Kansas City game, the season was kind of on the brink.
Yes.
Could have gone either way.
Yeah,
and the way it went is a testament to you and your coaching staff and your players, right? 4 wins in the last 6 games of the year?
No doubt about it. I mean, Kansas City, they were desperate to get a win on that day. They're playing at home.
At home.
And we know how tough it is to win at Arrowhead. I mean, that's been traditionally the case. And so for us to go up there and hold that offense to 10 points, for our defense to play the way they did, and for Tre'Davious White to come away with that pick in the 2-minute drill, I mean, that was huge on the road to play like that. And it kind of, you know, bolstered us from that point on.
Did you say to yourself at that point, man, I called this play last week.
And
it didn't work.
Right,
no,
right. But you know, that happens sometimes. And the good thing is our guys, a testament to their character, you know, we're preaching to them. We're talking to them about, hey, you can do this. We're showing them tape when they've done it well before. Mm-hmm. And for whatever reason, we have these lapses. So, you know, you've done it before. So find your way. Let's get back to doing it the way we were doing it early in the season. And they got it done.
Who did you lean on as far as the player ranks, you know, at any level of your defense to kind of right the ship then, to kind of pull things together? Who did you find yourself saying, you got to help lead us out of this?
Well, Cal, for sure, along with Lorenzo. I mean, Lorenzo, those guys were the key to really taking charge in the locker room. Because it's one thing for the coaches to be talking about what we need to do, but to have your leaders within the locker room echoing that same message rather than going against what the coaches are saying makes a huge difference. And I've been in situations where the coaches are saying one thing and the leaders are saying something different, and that's never good. But fortunately for us, we have some high-character leaders who – really bought into the message, and then they would carry it to the players and really demand perfection on the practice field, which allows you to play well on Sundays. So we were fortunate because of our leadership.
Is it hard for you and a guy like Lorenzo, who was big on special teams, makes a lot of plays on special teams, but who can come down, he plays linebacker, but he can come down and really help out in the rush. Is it hard for you to kind of find sometimes where you want to put him in the game?
There were some times early in the season where we were trying to figure it out, you know, what's the best thing to have him more at the linebacker position or get him more involved in the pass rush. And as the season went on, we really found our niche with him, and I think we started using him better, his strengths, and really understanding what his weaknesses were. Mm-hmm. And that helped us to play better also down the stretch.
Coach, I wonder in your postseason analysis of your defense, what you thought – I mean, we all knew you wouldn't be a heavy sack team, but what you thought of your pass rush and maybe generating – the needed pass rush. What can you do there?
Well, that's an area where we definitely want to improve, John. That was not really up to par for us. We were able to, you know, get the takeaways with the interceptions, but it wasn't always due to pressure on the quarterback. Our guys on the back end really did a really good job, and so did our linebackers. But we need to improve our pass rush, being able to win with 4. You know, we did bring 5 and 6 at times to help us with our pressure on the quarterback, but when we look at free agency this offseason, when we look at the draft, that's an area we really want to address.
I was thinking a lot about, I think it was before the final game against New England, Christmas Eve game anyway, Bill Belichick paid your secondary. Your safety is a huge compliment. I don't know if you caught that about how Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde have like an uncanny ability to kind of be in the right place at the right time. You got a lot from those guys. We were saying a year ago we didn't know who was going to be playing safety here. And look at those two. Look what they did this year.
Yeah, they were outstanding for us. Micah, of course, being named to the Pro Bowl.
Yeah.
And Jordan, I mean, he had a Pro Bowl season as well. They did a terrific job. And, you know, so did Tre'Davious as well.
Yeah.
You know, as a rookie coming in, well, we asked him to do a lot of things you wouldn't ordinarily ask a rookie to do, whether it be matching up on a receiver or trailing a receiver throughout a ball game. And then when E.J. Gaines was healthy, he played very well for us, you know, also. So, but our safeties, they really did a great job of making it hard for quarterbacks to get a bead on what we were doing. When you – I think we finished maybe third as far as big plays allowed in the league. We were number one in passes over 40 yards in the league. And a lot of it was due to the play of our safeties.
Disguising coverage mostly?
Disguising. You know, making things look like what they aren't. You know, quarterback thinks it's going to be split safety, and all of a sudden it's single high, and vice versa.
How long does it take you? Obviously, you play DB. How long does it take you to figure out these guys are really good at disguising coverages? Because not all DBs, not all safeties are good enough to rotate and not give it away.
Yeah.
I mean, and there are certain quarterbacks that will get you to do it. Tom Brady's notorious for getting you to rotate. And then he knows exactly what you're doing. So how long did it take you to figure out these guys really know what they're doing, and I can rotate these guys if I want to?
You know, when we were in our OTAs in the off season last spring, we kind of had a feel that these guys had a feel for what needed to be done, because you know you can practice it and you can drill it, but as you know, Donald, when you get out in the game to have the poise, the whole look, you know, it's all guys don't have that.
Right.
You know, they panic. They feel like they got to get down and show it, and you go like, oh, man, you know, as a coach. You know? But the guys that can have the poise and just hang in there, then you have a chance to make things look like what they aren't, and you have a chance to get some of the interceptions that we end up getting. Mm-hmm.
Just a minute or two left with Bills defense coordinator Leslie Frazier. I don't want to talk about individual corners, but I wonder, do you have like a prototype corner that you like in your defense? Is it a zone-type corner? And what does that mean when you think of, you know, this is a zone corner? What are you looking for?
Well, ideally, you know, you like to get a guy with, you know, pretty good height. You know, we'd like to get a guy 5'10 to about 6'1. I mean, that would really be good for us. You like for him to have a good 40 time, you know, good speed and quickness. And you also like for him to have good football instincts. That's a big deal at corner or safety. And then the other part of it is the football intelligence, where you can talk to him about football and he gets it. You know, during the course of the game, when you got to make adjustments, you're not afraid to do it, because there are some times you put together a game plan, and guess what? They're doing something totally different than what you talked about doing a week, and you've got to adjust. So the football intelligence is another part of it. So those are some of the ingredients that we look for, you know, when we're scouting DBs and trying to find corners.
Now, you have your prototypical DB, but I'm sure there are times where there are guys who are 5'9", 5'10".
Yeah.
And they're good.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, man, I really like this kid. He's short, but I like him. How do you kind of...
You talking about Tre'Davious here?
No, I wasn't even talking about Tre'Davious. But how do you kind of make those decisions based on if you want to keep that kid or not because he's shorter?
Right. You take a look at his production. It's always back to that. And if the guy's producing, even though he may not have the measurables that you say are ideal, you can't deny the tape in his play. So I mean, you got to let that guy play, because he makes plays, you know, regardless of the fact he may not have some of the measurables that you look for in the position. And if that's the case, if he's a playmaker, we want him on our team.
Yeah. Coach, the games are the thing and the season is the thing. But this time of year, this quiet seemingly time of year, I wonder how much you think your job is involved here in helping scouts, you know, scouting talent, going to the combine in a couple of weeks. How much do you invest yourself in this time of year and what's needed at this time of year?
That's a good question, because in the NFL today, I mean, it's really become a year-round job when it comes to free agency and the draft. And, like, right now, part of what we're responsible for as coaches is identifying the right free agents that could particularly possibly be on our football team along with the draft picks. So we're working with our scouts on identifying the right guys that fit our system and what we're looking for, both character-wise and talent-wise. So we are heavily involved in this process. You know, they're catching us up on some of the work they've done back in the fall and even a year ago on these juniors and seniors that are coming out. And now we become almost like scouts this time of the year as far as identifying and figuring out which guys will fit us.
You guys went down to the Senior Bowl. Do you like to get out to meet these guys one-on-one? Guys that you might have high, who you know you would think, man, I like this kid in our defense. Mm-hmm. You like to get out there and see him face-to-face and not just let the scouts do all that work on the road?
I like to get out and see him myself personally. I it's important to me to get a feel for the individual, you know, how we gel, what his background, just – you know, how he handles certain things and ask him some pointed questions and just get a response. You hear from the scouts, they give you their opinion about a player and they talk to you about him, but it's a different thing when you go out and you work him out yourself. Mm-hmm. You get a chance to talk to him about things that are important to you and you listen to what's important to him. You can get a feel for whether or not he's going to be a good fit for what you're doing.
Coach, thanks for this. Congratulations on the community meal, the lunch that you served at City Mission. Were you the coordinator of the defensive coaches in the meal room as well today down there?
I was just helping out. They were probably ordering me around a whole lot more than I was telling them what to do.
A little role reversal, probably good for you.
Yes,
Coach,
yes.
Thanks for this.
Thank you, guys.
Congratulations on the community meal, the Buffalo City Mission, the Bills coaches volunteering down there.